And welcome back to The Green Front. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg, and going to be talking to the good folks at the Rainforest Action Network in just a minute. There's so much going on. First of all, a big shareholder meeting underway today with executives and shareholders from the Chevron Corporation. You probably buy your gas from them. And they have been the target of a long-time demonstration protest. Actions and things are really heating up right now, literally and figuratively, because there is a lot at stake, and there's been some recent victories that we're going to hear about from the RAND folks, but there's also still a lot at stake. It's really all about the Amazon and some events that took place years ago when it was actually Texaco, before Texaco and Chevron merged. But the damage, the devastation continues to be felt in parts of Ecuador in particular, but also other countries as well. So we're going to be speaking in just a moment to Matt Leonard, who was one of those who unfurled the big banner that was on the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge accusing Chevron of environmental harm. And Matt will be telling us about what happened during that protest, how they were able to get away with doing that on a very busy bridge right in the middle of the San Francisco Bay. And then Ginger Cassidy is going to be joining us. She just stepped out of the shareholder meeting to tell us what developments might be taking place during that meeting, where there's, I'm sure, a lot of exchanges taking place. So let's go first to Matt, because Matt was part of that protest on Monday. Thanks for joining me, Matt. I believe you're there. Is Matt with me? Okay, well, we'll tell you a little bit more about what happened while we wait for Matt to come on. I do believe we have him. He's just on hold while we try to get Ginger on the line as well. So there's a couple things going on. First of all, locally, Chevron is based here in the Bay Area in Richmond, and they have a refinery, and they've been wanting to upgrade their facility there, and they had a proposal in for that and wanting to revamp its plans. They submitted a new application, and that was blocked by some protesters, so that is up in the air. And then in Ecuador, a judge recently fined Chevron $9.5 billion, that's B, billion dollars, over pollution in oil fields that go back a long time. And that actually, that fine could be almost doubled to $18 billion if Chevron does not apologize for its actions. So the company, as you might imagine, is appealing that judgment. It's fighting hard to prove that the verdict was unjust, unfair, and they're saying that the protests, and there's many groups involved, not just Rainforest Action Network, they call it the True Cost Network, the true cost of Chevron's nefarious deeds, as they would call them, that is, unreliable, it was not, the facts were not checked, and so you might imagine there's a lot of back and forth on that. Meantime, a Chevron spokesman has called that report the True Cost Report, as much accuracy as a funhouse mirror. But there's nothing fun or funny about these problems that have been caused by this very extensive pollution. So wondering now if we have either Matt or Ginger on the line. No. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit more about it then. So this 50-foot banner was unfurled right in the middle of the commute, causing quite a commotion, and they managed to hang it from this bridge, and it said, Chevron guilty, clean up the Amazon, and that was in advance of today's annual shareholder meeting. And that is the first shareholder meeting since that court verdict finding Chevron guilty of that massive oil contamination and ordered to pay that huge fine. So a lot at stake, and the Rainforest Action Network folks are planning a victory party tonight already, because they say they've already made headway, and they're hoping that that momentum will continue. And Chevron, you might have seen their ads. My goodness, at least here in California, they do a lot of advertising talking about their good deeds and that they're good social stewards. And we're going to find out from Matt Leonard. I think he's on the line now, why that's not enough. So, Matt, you with us?
Yep, I'm here. Thanks for having
me. Okay. Okay, a little bit delayed, but I want to, first of all, congratulate you on pulling off something that's not easy to do, to unfurl a banner, I don't know, 50, 100 feet. It was big enough that it was easy to see on all the news reports. There's a big picture of it in the San Francisco Chronicle. And even the women at my gym in Marin County were talking about it. That doesn't happen very often where you hear them talking about environmental action. It's usually about their kids and school and social life. So I was kind of pleased that you got their attention. So good for you, first and foremost.
That's great to hear that people thought.
And, you got a lot of coverage. And tell us how you managed to pull it off, just physically, not to mention what the legal repercussions might be.
Physically, we're all experienced climbers and rappellers, and so we basically use the same sort of climbing systems that might be used by a fire department, for instance, or someone who works on wind turbines or any sort of high-altitude work. And we basically, it was three climbers and some support people who hung the banner off the bridge using sort of industry standard climbing techniques. It was quite windy for a while, but we were able to safely deploy the banner, and no one was ever in any sort of harm or danger. And most importantly, we felt we were able to send a strong message to Chevron, to the media, to the public, and very importantly to their executives and shareholders that are here in town meeting today, that they need to be accountable for what they've done in the Amazon.
And we are going to check in with Ginger. I believe she's joining us now. Ginger?
Yes.
Okay, so you just stepped out of the meeting. Is it still taking place?
The meeting just ended about half an hour ago.
Okay, perfect. So you can tell us, how did it go with all this heat being put on Chevron right now?
Today we had about 30 people go into Chevron shareholder meeting, communities, representatives from communities around the world, really speaking to the true cost of Chevron. This morning, yesterday morning, we released a report called The True Cost, talking about Chevron's human rights and environmental violations around the world. During the meeting, there were quite a few shareholder resolutions that were introduced, one calling for Chevron to start a human rights committee. Last year, they introduced a new human rights policy, which really has no teeth at all whatsoever. And so a lot of people that are in the meeting today raised that issue and were able to speak to Chevron's overall impacts and how they treat people in the communities where they operate.
Did you get the feeling that Chevron's feeling the heat? They've gotten a lot of publicity about this. I mean, off and on over the years, this has been going on for a long time, but especially recently, it seems to be kind of building up.
Yeah, I think that Chevron has a lot of, financial and operational risk. The company just got one of the largest judgments against them in Ecuador, and that's the issue that we work on. Chevron for decades, operated in Ecuador and Amazon, where they deliberately dumped, billions of gallons of toxic oil waste throughout the region to save a couple, bucks a barrel. This case has been going on for about 18 years, and in February, they were found guilty for over $18 billion. So the Chevron's, definitely taking a hard hit right now. And the tone in the meeting today, a lot of people were there talking about the impact the company's having. There were people from Indonesia, from Nigeria, from Ecuador, people that are being affected, and Canada from the tar sands, people from Cook Inlet and Alaska. There were just tons of speakers in there just talking about Chevron's real impact, and I think that this is a major liability for the company, and they definitely heard that loud and clear today in the shareholder meeting.
Now, how many years ago was it that this toxic waste was dumped, and when did those practices stop? I hope they've stopped. And what is taking place, in these areas right now in terms of reparation, and can those areas ever be brought back to health?
It's had devastating impacts in Ecuador and Amazon. Chevron operated there for over two decades, from the 60s to the early 90s. They left Ecuador in 91 and no longer have any assets there, but they left basically a toxic wasteland. They left over 900 open oil pits, and as I said earlier, they dumped over 18 billion gallons of toxic oil wastewater, throughout the region, creating a health and humanitarian crisis. They have not compensated anybody down there. Chevron's response is to pull out their legal hacks and PR tricks and, litigate what they say till hell freezes over. Will they ever compensate the people in Ecuador and Amazon and clean up their toxic legacy there? So today in the shareholder meeting, not only did the Ecuadorians get to speak, Humberto, who's the head of the Sequoia Nation, one of the six tribes who have been impacted by Chevron, got to speak directly to John Watson and ask them to do the right thing, do the responsible thing by cleaning up their legacy, toxic legacy that they left throughout the region.
Now, Chevron must be spending millions on, ads, talking about their belief that we need to make a shift to renewable energy. They say they have many, many humanitarian efforts in place. One would think, if they didn't know the full story, that Chevron really is, now that we know BP was not truly a green oil company, that Chevron is really one of the leaders as much as an oil company can be an environmental steward. So what should folks know? You're obviously talking about it now, but why is that not the full story, the full picture of this company?
Yeah, Chevron spends a lot of money in their PR campaigns. Last year alone, they spent over $90 million on their ad campaigns. They spend less than 1% of their annual profits on renewable and alternative energy. So it's, you know, they're really deceiving people with their PR campaigns. And I think that, you know, most recently with their We Agree campaign, which we were able to counter before it even came out, talking about the real impacts that, you know, Chevron is having on communities, it's something that people are definitely aware of. I think that after the BP explosion last year, oil companies are trying to paint their image as companies that care and companies that are responsible, which is just not true. And, you know, Chevron is, you know, the largest corporation in California, the fifth largest corporation in the world. Their profits were close to $20 billion last year alone. They have the assets and the resources to be a responsible company and not continue to pollute communities where they're operating.
And it must be tempting to poke fun at, in fact, I think the Yes Men did a campaign on that We Agree Chevron campaign to kind of turn it on its face. How damaging has that been to Chevron, and are shareholders concerned about that? And maybe you could just take a minute and describe who the Yes Men are and what they did to Chevron.
Yeah, so, you know, we got a leak from someone that Chevron tried to hire to be a part of their PR campaign. They tried to hire some, you know, street artists to go out and meet poster their new We Agree ad campaign, and they also tried to hire some celebrities and folks to be a part of the campaign, and those people came to us at Rainforest Action Network and Amazon Watch, and then we approached Yes Men about what to do with this information, and we decided to create our own We Agree ads, you know, putting images in there of folks who are being impacted in Ecuador, you know, folks who are being affected in Nigeria, and really put the message out that, you know, because in their, you know, campaign it says, you know, Chevron cares about local communities, We Agree, and it has someone from the community and then someone from Chevron. And so, you know, we put in there, you know, Chevron should clean up their toxic messes, and had an image there from someone from Ecuador. And we were able to drop the ad campaign about an hour before Chevron's went live. And so, you know, we were able to kind of dominate our, you know, their narrative with the real impact that Chevron's having in communities. And we definitely got a lot of media attention around that, and it was definitely ranked as one of, you know, Ad Age did a thing ranking it as one of the biggest, you know, PR, you know, follies of the year, and they've definitely got a lot of attention around that. And so anyway, so I think it was a very successful event.
So the True Cost Network is truly a thorn in Chevron's side. It seems that they would have to know you're watching before they launch any more PR campaigns or advertising campaigns.
Yeah, I think the True Cause of Chevron Network continues to grow every year. You know, last year we were in Houston, Texas, tried to attend the meeting last year, and they shut out over 17 legitimate proxy holders by going into that meeting. They also arrested shareholders who tried to attend the meeting to talk about Chevron's impact. And this year they did allow everyone to go in, and for the most part, a lot of folks did get to speak, but, you know, John Watson, the CEO of Chevron, responded with, you know, just PR sound bites. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, the movement continues to build and grow, and I think that people's voices are being heard, you know, on our side, but I think we have to continue to grow the True Cost of Chevron Network, not only here in California, here in the Bay Area. You know, Chevron has one of its largest refineries in Richmond that's causing cancers and deaths throughout that community, and there are folks there speaking to say about the impact that Chevron's having. I think that this movement is going to continue to grow as the company continues to grow, because Chevron is growing, and I think that we need to just dominate their message and their narrative and hold truth to what they're doing.
I'm speaking with Ginger Cassidy. She is with the Rainforest Action Network, and also Matt Leonard, who was part of the Rainforest Action Network action on the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge a couple of days ago. Wanted to know, Matt, are you still with us?
Yep, I'm still here.
I don't know how long you've been with Rainforest Action Network, but I've been covering the Green Beat long enough to remember when you were unfurling banners on Home Depot, and I know that those actions really finally had a breakthrough in terms of getting in the room with executives from Home Depot and making a difference in terms of where they get their lumber from. And is that the goal here? Do you really hope to? So first of all, Matt, were you part of that? And is that something that you see is possible here, or is Chevron, you know, too far down the rabbit hole for you to even hope to bring them around? I guess you probably hope to, or you wouldn't be doing this, I suspect.
No, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of these campaigns operate on a lot of different levels. You know, in the case of a thing in the banner on Monday, I think the biggest goal for that is really just to be able to amplify the message of what's happening in Ecuador and the concerns, not just from our campaign, but from the communities there. You know, those people are traditionally have a very small voice, certainly in the American media, but certainly in Chevron, you know, in what they're hearing from their shareholders, their meetings. And I think part of bringing them up to the shareholder meeting is an important way to let those communities speak truth to power. And our banner is really a way to help amplify that message to the broader public and to media and put some pressure on Chevron that way. You know, I think in terms of the goal of the campaign, it's a lot of it is about changing Chevron. I think, you know, in a shorter term sense, getting them to actually be accountable for what they've done in Ecuador and Amazon is an important and huge step in that process. But getting them to be accountable for some of their legacy and atrocities around the world, whether here in Richmond, California, in Nigeria and Kazakhstan, and in any country where they operate, to be accountable to the communities there and to change their business practices, to be a responsible corporate citizen and no longer be able to freely pollute those communities.
And I know this is a local issue, but what is the main gripe with the request on their part to upgrade the Richmond facility? Is that just, are you just trying to block that because of what's going on in the Amazon, or is there something that really will pose a threat to Bay Area residents if they make these expansions or upgrades?
Well, it's definitely a complex issue. You know, a big part of their proposal is to expand the Richmond facility. The concerns there are, one, that the oil they're processing has to come from somewhere, and that might be coming from places, not necessarily the Amazon, places like that, that are dealing with a lot of environmental and human rights abuses there on the extraction side, but also for the communities in Richmond who, are often poor, lower-income, and communities of color that surround the refinery who are dealing with tremendous environmental and health impacts there. And from everywhere along, where Chevron works, whether it's on the extraction side or on the refining side, and even on the end product when we put it in our gas tanks and combust the gasoline, there's just tremendous health and environmental impacts, and that needs a change.
Yeah, and I made the comparison of the Home Depot protest. Home Depot overall, now is certainly seen as they're advertising their green side, but they're much larger than one product, where an oil company, by definition, they're extracting oil. And we are addicted to fossil fuels, so you can't hate them too much. But that's why I was wondering if, what's the ultimate hope? What would convince Rainforest Action Network and the True Cost Network that Chevron was, a good environmental steward or at least citizen beyond, the settling of this particular case? Like, would that be enough, or is it never going to be adequate?
Well, I mean, I think, a lot of us are concerned about much bigger long-term pictures of human rights and of climate change and environmental concerns. And I think it's very true that we need to make an entire shift in our entire economy away from fossil fuels. And that is ultimately Chevron's current fundamental business model is the burning of oil and fossil fuels. So I think, a long-term goal for the organization and the campaign is to change that entire economy. But certainly the steps along the way that are going to be seen as tremendous victories, and holding Chevron accountable for what they've done in the Amazon is an important one of those.
Okay, and what's next after this shareholder meeting now that it's concluded? What are you expecting to hear or hoping to hear?
Well, for us, as we're going to continue to fight for justice in Ecuador and Amazon and hold Chevron accountable and try to get them to stop, dragging this out with litigation. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars on litigating a case in Ecuador, and we want them to resolve it. We want them to stop appealing it. We want them to come to the table and negotiate and have a final settlement there. I think for the broader True Cost of Chevron network, we're going to continue to challenge, this corporate power that Chevron has. This Chevron has the power, has the resources to operate responsibly, and they're not doing that, so we're going to hold them accountable until that happens.
And there's an article in the Chronicle today. It says that the company, will be fined $9.5 billion over the pollution unless the company apologizes. If it doesn't, it will be $18 billion. Can you explain that? That seems like a rather, they could save a lot of money if they just apologize, but it's probably not that simple.
Yeah, I think that, with that judgment, it's very loud and clear that this case has been going on for 18 years, a very long time, and it's been a full-blown assault what Chevron has done to the people in the region of Ecuador, and I think that response is a very unique response that I've never seen a response from a judge like that. But it kind of shows that Chevron, there's overwhelming evidence that they are guilty, they were found guilty, and that there's no way around it. And so really the decision that we see coming down is going to be closer to $18 billion, even through the appeal process, which it's in right now.
Hmm. And it's all about acknowledging wrongdoing, right? Admitting guilt.
Absolutely. And I think, And I think that, you know, even the $18 billion amount is never going to fully be able to repair that region that was once pristine. You know, a lot of the scientific assessments that have been done have assessed the damages anywhere from $27 billion to $100 billion. So $18 billion just isn't actually enough, but it is one of the largest settlements against an oil company on behalf of indigenous people where the crime was committed. This is the first time that this has ever happened, so this is definitely a historic event and a huge milestone in the case for justice for the people of Ecuador.
Now, Chevron says it hired a consulting firm to review the true cost report and says
yep.
that nothing in there has been verified, and it was dismissed by their spokesman, Lloyd Avram. What do you say to that? Where did the facts come from? Are they facts indeed?
They are facts indeed, and they were verified today in their shareholder meeting. Almost every country that John Watson, you know, mentioned in his, you know, opening statement about the company and about their, you know, positive human rights record, we were able to counter with individuals from those frontline communities that are bearing the brunt of Chevron's human rights and environmental abuses. They were able to speak from what they're feeling in their communities, the people that are losing their lives because of Chevron's toxic legacies. And so I think that we were able to defend that and really lay out, you know, positive, you know, solid facts today in the meeting. And so I think we're open to hear Chevron's response, which we didn't really get today, to any of people's claims or statements.
I understand there's some protests against the natural gas project in Burma. Is that mostly a political protest, or is there an environmental angle to that as well?
There's both. It's political, you know, getting Chevron to stop, you know, funding militaries and places like Burma. There's also been a lot of, you know, gas leaks in their pipelines, and so it's a little of both.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we just have about 3 minutes left. You are having a victory party tonight, Rainforest Action Network is. What are you celebrating, and what gives you hope that maybe there's some narrowing of the gap between environmental concerns and corporate interests, in particular in the case of Chevron?
Yeah, I think that tonight's, you know, victory is to honor and, you know, honor the delegation, the folks who have come up from the Ecuadorian Amazon, who traveled a far distance. They started their delegation last week on Monday in New York City, where they met with, you know, politicians, with reporters. They then went down to Washington, D.C., and they've ended their trip here in San Francisco, you know, speaking today at the annual shareholder meeting. And tonight's event at the Lake Chalet is hosted by Rainforest Action Network, and we'll be honoring them on this true milestone in this case and this fight for justice, you know, calling on Chevron to do the right thing and clean up their toxic legacy. And I think that the $18 billion verdict against Chevron is just a milestone. It's definitely a long road ahead. So if people want to come out and support them, it's, you know, also a fundraiser to help continue this ongoing struggle against this company and to continue our challenging of this corporate power.
And Matt, are you celebrating not being in jail?
That's definitely one thing to celebrate. But, you know, I think going to jail for the night was a small price to pay, looking at what Chevron's record is in Ecuador. And I think you know, that's a small sacrifice thing we can make as people of California to try to hold Chevron accountable and support the communities there.
So were you fined, or was Rainforest Action Network fined for that banner unfurling, since it is illegal? What was the fallout, or is that to be determined?
Well, to be determined. There was 7 people who were arrested, and we'll be going to court in the next month or so to sort out some of those details. But.
Mm-hmm. And it was pretty easy to pull that off, I guess, overall, with traffic just buzzing by, it looks like.
I wouldn't say it was easy, but it was, you know, something we
Rainforest Action Network standards. No, it doesn't look easy by any means. You're hanging there over the bay, and I'm sure it was very dangerous and intense, actually, but you guys made it look easy. Maybe too easy.
I mean, your ultimate goal is to be able to send a message and accomplish an action like that, but to do it in a very safe way, not just for us as climbers, but for passerbys or people above or below us as well, and I think we accomplished both those things.
Okay, and we are out of time, so I thank you for joining me, Ginger Cassidy and Matt Leonard of Rainforest Action Network. Congratulations to you. I'm glad you're safe, and I'm glad you're getting some shareholder attention and hopefully some executive attention at Chevron and perhaps other oil companies paying attention.
Great.
We'll follow this story along. That does it for this edition of The Green Front. Pray for calmer weather across this great nation of ours. In the meantime, have a great green week.